Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley. Welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 434, entitled Unlocking Faceted Search in WordPress with Ross Morsali of Search and Filter. It was published on Thursday, the 21st of August, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and in a few moments I'll be joined by Ross for that chat, but firstly, a few bits of housekeeping. WordCamp US is just around the corner, and depending on when you listen to this podcast, that event might still be in the future. If it is, I'm going to be there. Please come and search me out. I typically wear a sort of cloth cap, if that helps you find me. I've got grey hair and a very short beard, and glasses, black glasses as well. There you go, you've got the full bio of what I look like now. If you're going to be at WordCamp US and you fancy hooking up, please, 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 I would really like that. That would be very nice indeed. I guess the best place to find me would be on X at WP Builds. DMs are open, so if you fancy hooking up, that would be lovely. The other thing to mention is that if you're into what we do at WP Builds, why not subscribe? Head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe. Over there, you're going to find loads of places that we post our content. That could be on X or YouTube or Facebook or whatever it may be. Or good old RSS. Why not use that instead in your podcast player of choice? That way you will get updated whenever we produce new episodes. Typically, that's this, which comes out on a Thursday. That's the podcast. It's usually an interview. But also, on a Monday, we record This Week in WordPress and put that out on a Tuesday. So you'd get that in your podcast player. But also, if you subscribe to our newsletter, we'll email you about those things as well. Speaking of This Week in WordPress, if you fancy joining us and you would like to be on that show, I'm trying out a new experiment. I've opened up a form for anybody that would like to be on that show. Head to wpbuilds.com/... And then it's an acronym for This Week in WordPress. So it's /TWIW. Get it? This Week in WordPress. TWIW. Go and fill out the form there. And if you are a WordPresser, you have things to say and you'd like to join us on that show, please feel free to fill out that form. We typically have three people on the show and it is a lot of fun. Lots of comments drop in and it's become one of the highlights of my week. The other thing to mention is that if you would like to get your product or service out in front of a large WordPress-specific audience, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. And here's some companies that have done just that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also helped this week by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without fantastic companies like that. Remember, wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I am chatting with Ross Morsali. He has a product called Search and Filter. That's the free version. He's also got a version called Search and Filter Pro. That's the paid version. And this allows you to do faceted search. So, you know, when you go to things like Netflix and you want to figure out what it is that you want to watch tonight, so you drill down by category, by actor, and so on and so forth. Well, Search and Filter allows you to do that. It could be property listings. It could be e-commerce listings. It could be a default version of WordPress. There are so many options, so many ways to display the different filtering capabilities. And Ross is here today to explain why he built it, how he built it, and what he plans in the future. It's all coming up next in the podcast, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Ross Morsali. Hello, Ross.
Hello, Nathan. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Nice to chat to you. Ross and I have been chatting for a good half an hour already, so it's always a bit contrived at the beginning of these podcasts where we say that, but very nice to connect with you. We've met in the real world, but the endeavour of this podcast is to introduce you to Ross, that's the first thing, but also to a product that Ross has had for a very long time, I think, in the WordPress space. I think there's a lot of heritage here. So it's going to enable you to do faceted searching, filtering, all that fun stuff. But before we get into the weeds of the plugin and what it does and how it works, let's just learn a little bit more about Ross. So your potted bio, Ross, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been using WordPress, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've been using WordPress for about 13, 14 years. I used to have an agency in London, based in London, and we switched over to WordPress about 13, 14 years ago and kind of never looked back. And I think it was about 10-ish years ago, decided to make a free plugin for the WordPress repository called Search and Filter. Just put it out there for some fun, and one thing led to another, and here we are. Looks like we've got a full-blown product business.
That's nice. So the initial version of this software, and I suspect we'll talk about the pro version a little bit more than the free version, but dear listener, have in mind that there's obviously a free version in the repo. It was a completely 100% no pro. It was all on the repo, and then obviously a product like that, you know, if it gains popularity, presumably you have to pay for your time a little bit. So the pro version came much later.
Yeah, I think it was only a couple of years. Mm. I think when I was working on it initially, the only reason I made it was because I couldn't find something that did what I needed easily. It's just, you know, scratching your own itch. And I think it was around then that some other plugins popped up, but I was not quite aware of them. So I went and enrolled and made this free version.
That's fascinating. And I did not know that, but I guess that's how many of these things begin, isn't it, in the WordPress space. Somebody scratches their own itch, builds a plugin, sticks it on the repo, realizes there's probably quite a lot of use outside of their own personal use, and so the business blossoms and a career is made that you didn't intend to exactly. To have. Yeah, the same would be true of this podcast. Dear listener, I'm going to ask you to pause this podcast and go to this URL. Go to searchandfilter.com, just exactly as you'd imagine, searchandfilter.com, all as one word, no hyphens, nothing like that. And have a poke around, and you'll get a really good understanding of what the product can do. However, if you're nowhere near a computer, perhaps you're driving the car or something like that, you're gonna need Ross to shepherd you on the journey. So let's do that. On the very highest level, what does the product do? If we go to searchandfilter.com, what are we finding over there? What have you built?
Yeah, the top level is it's faceted search. That means you can create search fields. It means you can create filters. And these filters are for your end users to use for your shops or your listings. And you can use these filters to filter any kind of WordPress post type. And then those filters will be connected to almost any kind of WordPress data type. So yeah, just filtering your posts by the data that posts have attached to them.
Now, you use the word faceted there. And I've heard this word connected to products like you have many, many times. I've associated it in my head with what it is, but I actually don't know what faceted means. Is that like a technical piece of coding?
Yeah, so what we don't really use that language on our website and to our customers because it is a little bit more technical, I think. We just say filtering and searching and dynamic updates. But what true faceted search is when, let's say you have two filters on your website. Let's say I have a WooCommerce shop and I have some color choices to filter by, and I have some size choices, small, medium, large. If I choose, say, red as a color choice, then the small, medium, large, maybe large will go missing as an option to filter by because there is no large available in red. So it's this kind of dynamic relationship between the different fields. That's okay. The crux.
So the faceted portion is how the different data types combine So a perfect example there, you know, if there's red, but there's no medium in red, the medium goes away, that kind of thing. So it's the ability to combine those different things. Yeah, so a really good example, I think, which at least in my head sums this up perfectly, because I know that more or less everybody who's an adult has probably done this before, is imagine, for example, a property search or something like that. So you go to a website where they're selling properties, and the property is obviously the house or the flat or what have you, but that property will have many sort of subcategories. So the number of bedrooms, whether it's got a garden or not, how big the rooms are, this kind of thing, how much it costs and so on. And so you could use a plugin like you've got Search and Filter. You could use that to construct things. So you would, for example, create a custom post type of house or properties or what have you, and give it price fields, and you'd give it, I don't know, room type fields, and you'd give it whether or not it's got a garden field. And in that way, you could then add these properties one after another. And then on the front end, this is the important bit, the front end, people with no experience, they don't need any kind of technical background at all. They're just confronted with an interface which allows them to tick a box to say, only show me stuff under $300,000 or whatever it might be. And the plugin will figure that out and just get rid of everything which doesn't satisfy that. But then you can build up those. So show me 300,000 or and below, and garden. And so in that way, you can sort of filter down further into the weeds. And that's what the product does. So I'm sort of describing it for you, but have I got that about right?
That's exactly what it's for. That's exactly how it works. Yeah, yeah. For all kinds of content. And that's the crux of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how, on a technical level, how does it work? So if we're in the back end of WordPress, can we just use this with a default version of WordPress? Does it have any utility at that point? So we've got no custom post types, we've got no custom fields, anything like that. Does it have any utility? I mean, I'm guessing you could filter against, I don't know, authors?
What you'll probably start with is the WordPress post type. So you'll have the post type, normally for the blog, and you'll have tags and categories. So straight away you can get started with those. So you can build like a searching and filtering system for filtering your blog. You could create a search field, you could create a filter for the categories, a filter for the tags. The same again, you could add a date search field, a date filter, and search, you know, your blog post by date range or specific date. And then also the author, and that's another field that you could use. Let me think, what else do we have? We have so many fields, but I'm wondering what the overlap is with the default WordPress install.
Yeah,
we've got some more.
Yeah, so for example, things like, the ones that jumped out to me were tags, categories, and authors and things like that. So, you know, it has utility in a default WordPress install. You could say, just show me the post written by Ross, for example, or show me the post written by Ross, which have been tagged as, I don't know, search or something like that. So it works in that scenario. But I'm guessing that the real beauty of this plugin is when you combine it with other products that enable you to do complicated custom fields and custom post types and that kind of thing. We'll get into that in a minute. But you just mentioned, and you sort of went straight through it. Obviously, this is your product, and so you know it inside and out, but there was quite a lot there that I want to unpick. So, for example, you mentioned dates. So that obviously, straight away, that's me thinking, okay, that's a very specific type of data. And if you're going to search it, presumably there might be an end date, a beginning date, those kind of things. You mentioned in a previous example, you mentioned colors. So there's another kind of thing. Maybe I'm clicking on an actual color, you know, a little lozenge, which is representing that actual color. Or maybe I'm clicking on the word red, or I'm selecting a drop down with red in it, those kind of things. But you also mentioned some other things, which like prices, it might be a slider, something like this. So what I'm trying to tease out here is, what are the kind of components that you can build up these searches with? So I just mentioned, like, you could click on a drop down field, or you could have a slider, or you could have a, I don't know, a date picker or something. So I know there's a lot there, and you might not want to go through them all, but just give us an outline of the kind of data that you can use and the way it can be displayed.
Yeah, so we have quite a lot of different types of data. I'll start with the ones that come with WordPress from the beginning, from a clean install, which is like your post attributes. So you might want to build filters for post type. So if you have a listing with multiple post types, let's say you want to mix blog posts with pages, you could create a filter to then filter out the blog posts or the pages. And the same with post status. So it's not as commonly used, but you can get different kind of post statuses. I would imagine maybe in a shop where you might have like posts that are coming soon, i.e. products that are coming soon, and that might have a custom post status, or products that are on back order, or products that are in some other kind of state. So you can then use that post status to filter that. Then we also have post author, which we just discussed. And yeah, and then you've got taxonomies and custom fields. And then you kind of get into more complicated data types based around custom fields when you're using add-ons like ACF and pods and things like that.
Okay, so out the box, there was actually way more in that in the default version of WordPress than I imagined there'd be. So that's kind of interesting. So it has utility just with a native version of WordPress. But again, if you've been in the WordPress space for any length of time, I mean, you may have dabbled into sort of custom code using default custom fields and custom post types within WordPress, you know, leveraging that. But I think most people rely on third-party plugins, and you mentioned things like ACF and pods, and there's no doubt, you know, a laundry list of those that I've never heard of as well. But it sounds like you sort of tightly bind into those. So as an example, if I was a user of ACF, that ships with a whole smorgasbord. Oh, I'm glad that I got to use that word in the podcast. There's a whole ton of different data types that they store, you know, URLs, they'll store user data, they'll store date ranges, all of that kind of thing. And you will bind with all of those, you know, pods, exactly. ACF, you've gone into the weeds of their code and built it around what they can give you.
Yeah, so ACF is the one that we have the best support for. And just because it's so popular, we've built in the ACF features into the core plugin. Most of the times when we do an integration, we'll build like an extension plugin or something like that. But ACF is just so prevalent that all those features are built directly in. So yeah, we probably support like 80% of the hundreds of field types and data types and repeater fields and group fields and nested group fields and all that kind of crazy stuff. You can get really complicated data structures, and we'll support all of that out of the box. You just have to tick the ACF integration when you enable it, and then the UI expands and gives you all these extra options for integration.
So the name of the plugin, Search and Filter, there's obviously, you know, two things going on there. And it sounds to me like the search bit is the bit where the user interacts, you know, they're clicking buttons, they're typing things into fields, they're sliding things around. And then the filter bit is where they then see the output of that. I mean, I could be wrong about, oh, no, that wouldn't be true, would it? Because you could, no, ignore what I just said. But there are still two parts. You've got the searchy filtery bit, which is the bit I've just described, where you're typing things in, sliding things, you're trying to reduce it all down, filter it if you like. But then there's the bit where the results come. So how in the back end, I know it's difficult to encapsulate this in words, but we'll have to because we're an audio podcast. How do you actually build these things, and how do you match up the visual display? So as an example, in my house website, I would like to put several different fields, how much it costs, how many bedrooms it's got, does it have a garden, that kind of thing. And I'd like people to be able to interact with that. But then I obviously want an output from that, and I want to be able to show, let's say, an image, the featured image, or a slider of images, the price displayed underneath. So essentially, I'm after little cards, little data cards that I show. How do you build and bind those two things together? Is it a relatively straightforward thing, or is it really the domain of developers for your product?
The way we see it is there's a lot of great tools out there already that allow you to build great layouts. That's kind of a layout builder's job in a way, we can say. So with Gutenberg, you have the query loop block, and you can build, you know, listings and all sorts of things. And then other plugins can leverage that and, you know, make that experience even richer than say, if we were to build this ourselves or include it in a plugin. We wouldn't be able to compete because you have all these plugins like ACF, and you can put, you know, ACF data types into your layouts, and I mean, there's slider plugins and all that kind of stuff that utilize the query loop. So what we do is we take an approach of integrating with things that build layouts already.
Right.
So for the block editor, we integrate with the query loop, and a couple of others, Generate Blocks, have their own query loop also. So we integrate with that. And we just have like a kind of a UI for it in our admin area to say, hey, we want to talk with that query loop. We our filters as opposed to affect that query loop. So that's one kind of part of it. The thing is, most page builders have their own equivalent, and then most page builders also have plugin companies building other versions of query loops and things like that on top. So Elementor comes with, if I can remember the name, it's a query, I think it's a grid. I can't quite remember. I think it's, I'm going to go with like query loop, but that's
the Elementor query builder,
exactly. So Elementor have a bunch, actually. They have like 5 or 6 widgets that use a query underneath, which is, the thing that defines what you're going to show, which is, your post type and all that kind of stuff. So they have like the, and I'm really kicking myself for not remembering the name, but they have this query loop builder.
It's
they have like a posts widget, which is just for posts. They have a products widget, and they have a bunch of different widgets for displaying posts. So we integrate with all of those via our Elementor extension plugin.
So if I was to go, I'm a massive user of Gutenberg. That is where I've landed. I'm all about that. On top of that, I do put some of the bits and pieces. So Generate Blocks is my go-to block plugin of choice, if you know what I mean. And so if I go into the block editor and I throw in a query loop from, in this case, let's go with the default WordPress query loop, which is actually now getting significant updates and it's looking pretty good. So I throw in that as a block. That's now on in my, let's say it's a page. Go into a page, create that, throw in the query loop block. Do I then have a block of yours, which I throw into another part of that page, say, for example, above it, or perhaps I could set up a sidebar or something like that? Is that how it works? So I put in the query loop, and then I put in the search and filter block, which then does the heavy lifting on the front end.
More or less, exactly. So okay. We released version 3 last October, and the idea was that we would be 100% integrated with the block editor and all core WordPress. That's kind of always been our ethos, is support all of WordPress, default WordPress by default. And the block editor is part of that. I believe, and all the, some of our competitors and things like that, they usually have this kind of experience where you build something in one of their admin pages, and then you go into the block editor and link it up or something like that.
Yeah.
What we've done a bit different is we have this experience, like an admin experience, a custom admin area for all the other use cases that are not the block editor. But for the block editor, we want that to be like a first class solution for the block editor.
Okay.
And you can build everything in there. So you can add a search field, and then you get the whole sidebar of all your options for the search field. So you can go through and tinker with that and choose your data type and go to the styling panel and change the colors and the border color and the font size and all that kind of stuff, all within the block editor. So it's a completely native experience. So you shouldn't really have the feeling that you need to leave the block editor to build something with our plugin or build something with your layouts.
Okay, let me just make sure that I've understood that correctly. So if I'm in the block editor, I drag in the search and filter block, for want of a better word, and then I am building it, whatever that set of searches and filters are. I build it inside there, and all of the settings are visible to me inside the block editor. So I can really get granular, and there it is. However, if I'm using, let's say, Elementor, then you rely on a different setting area within your plugin. You'd build it over there, go to Elementor, and then pick it and drop it in as one of their elements. And obviously you'd have built it elsewhere and you'd have to give it a name and select the correct one and what have you. Have I got that about right?
Yeah. So the block editor gets this deep, rich experience. And for now, at least, you can build everything that you need to from our admin UI as well.
Okay.
It's kind of like a reskinned block editor. You go and you create a field and you have a sidebar and you save that field with a name, and you get all the same options as the block editor. It's built with the Gutenberg components, so it looks kind of like the block editor essentially. And then you can then link that to whatever page builder that you're using.
Oh, okay. That's interesting as well. Okay, so the other nice thing about that is everything's in one place, isn't it? So if you go to the page where you've got this search and filter happening, you click edit and all of the settings are there. It's not like you have to remember, where did I build that?
Yeah, we've got this two-way sync. So anything you do in the block editor is kind of, it lives outside, to get a bit technical, it lives outside of the page that you put it on. We have another, like a table, a custom table, and we store like a mapping of that field there. So then when you go to the admin screen, you can see it there in our, you know, UI, you can list all your fields together. And then, or you can just go and edit it in the page. It's like a bi-directional sync.
Oh, I see. So let's say, for example, I have a sudden desire to duplicate almost one of the searches and filter sections of my website. You have a UI where I could go and say, you know, replicate that, duplicate that, I'll do it again, but I only want this slight modification. I just want to drop this thing and add this one thing in, and then it's available. So even if you build it inside the block editor, it's available in a normal list that you would see in WordPress, like everything else. You'd exactly. be able to see that there. Okay. Oh, that's the best of every world, isn't it? I think in that you've got options in. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also, it is a little bit, I would just be honest and say it's a little bit, it can cause a bit of confusion sometimes. So there's a bit of an onboarding thing that we have to do to get people to understand how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you're presenting options to edit and modify things in two places, yeah, the cognitive load is gonna collapse. How does this scale? So let's say, for example, I've got a really, really successful e-commerce site. So I've got WooCommerce, which, as we know, you know, is fairly resource intensive anyway. Let's imagine that I've got, I don't know, 10,000 products, 10,000 SKUs, and each of those have got multiple different facets within them. So they've got colors, and they've got sizes, and they've got prices, and they've got descriptions, and blah, 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 blah. How does this scale, basically? You know, can the plugin handle any amount of data that's coming at it? How does that work? Because I can imagine if you've got huge amounts of data, that must be quite a lot for you to, a big job for you to start searching and filtering those.
Yeah, that's a good question. This kind of stuff isn't infinitely scalable whatsoever. There's always limitations. So the main limitation is you have a WordPress website with a MySQL database and you're on a host. So it can be data intensive depending on your configuration and the things that you want. So if you want, one of the biggest challenges with all of the plugins like this kind of plugin is faceted search, like we were discussing earlier. So the ability for fields to show and hide options based on the current search parameters, that is probably the most demanding piece of work that the plugin does, not just the straight searching in the tables or the database or things like that. It's this building relationships between options and fields and ultimately the query that you're displaying. So that is the most demanding part. And on a MySQL database, on a WordPress install, there's limitations. So I would say that in our plugin, I usually would recommend around 20,000 posts as your upper limit. Mileage may vary. We've seen people with 50,000. I'm not sure how they're pulling that off. They probably have a nice server. But yeah, so up until a certain point, you're going to hit a kind of ceiling where this kind of, all these calculations for all these fields and all these relationships between all the options, it kind of gets exponentially bigger and bigger and bigger. So yeah, that's what I would say is like a soft limit, is around 20,000. You can, you know, add caching, you can improve your server, you can improve your, you know, database server, things like that. There's all kinds of tweaks you can do to push it further and further and further. But I would recommend, if you're looking at 50,000 or over, that's when we kind of say, hey, look, you're probably looking at like Elasticsearch solution. Amazon isn't using MySQL database for a good reason for their search. Yeah. So you need a different kind of database server to facilitate that functionality at like really high scale.
Okay. So, Yeah.
So that's kind of an Elastic-based solution is for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's interesting, though, because I imagine for the majority of the people that you're selling the plugin to, 20,000 still represents, that's still quite a lot. I've been doing podcasting for years, and I'm probably getting close to about 700 episodes. That feels like a lot, and I'm nowhere near the ceiling that you're representing there. But it makes sense, you know, if you're imagining what's actually going on as you do these filters. Let's say you've got 20,000 custom post types, and they've, again, leaning on properties, you know, each of those has got bedrooms and prices and pictures and blah, blah, blah. And you start to filter them down. That is a lot of data that you're polling, and you're expecting it to come back in a heartbeat. And it's a MySQL database, I suppose. You're asking a lot.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so just in terms of the product, we can obviously go to the website. I've mentioned the URL, searchandfilter.com. You can go there and check it out. What are you working on at the moment? Because obviously, I imagine that you've already built the vast majority of what it is that you thought you were going to build. So what's in store? What are some of the interesting things that are on the roadmap for Ross in the future?
One thing that happened when we released Version 3 released last October was a complete rewrite of the plugin ground up for the block editor and this whole new architecture to make it super flexible and much easier to integrate with other tools and things like that. So for now, one of the main things is to, we have a few integrations that we had in version 2. We had a lot of integrations in version 2, and we haven't yet rebuilt all of them for version 3. So we're going to be looking at all the page builders again, essentially. So we've already got in version 3 support for Elementor. We'll be adding Brix. Actually, that's a brand new integration.
Yeah, that's really popular now, isn't it?
So, yeah. Brix have just released version 2, I believe. We had a look at the version 1 code, and it was a bit difficult to integrate with from our side of things. So we thought we'll just leave it there for a while and see if things change in the future. And with version 2, they've made a few things easier for us. So we've kind of jumped on that. We're in the final testing now of our Brix integration, and that's probably in a couple of weeks. So we're going to go around the houses and fill in the blanks for the other page builders that we used to have support for. So that's like WP Bakery page builder, Divi. There's a bunch of them. We'll probably end up integrating with all the main ones, essentially.
Okay, so like widespread support then. So you're not just the block editor or Elementor. There's a whole different, I mean, I guess you put the amount of work in based upon how popular they are.
Exactly.
These things come and go, don't they? You know, page builders that were really, really popular several years ago, maybe they're not getting updated or what have you. And I could see why you would, you know, have a sort of different approach. Okay, one question I have is that I'm imagining the support burden for you is going to be fairly front-loaded. What I mean is, I'm imagining that when people buy this and get into it, that's where they're getting stock, and you know, the initial kind of week with it is going to be how does this work? What the heck? I'm completely confused. That kind of thing. So how do you offer support? Do you offer is it like an email back and forward? Do you have like a live chat? What's the deal there? And what are your hours? You know, is it like weekends out, you know, excluding weekends or what?
We use a ticketing system called Help Scout, which is email based.
Okay. Yep.
So essentially you can go to our website, or if you've got a support email address, and drop us an email or fill out the form. We've got an integration for Help Scout. So all your tickets and everything like that, it's all manageable from your account, so you can go and view all your old tickets, you can see what's open, what's closed, what's pending, that kind of stuff. We advertise UK kind of business hours. Mm-hmm. That's where we started, you'll often find us outside of those hours, but it's just to kind of set expectations.
Yeah,
that we don't work weekends. Weekends are off officially, we just set the kind of UK hours. You'll find me on personally all kinds of odd hours, and the support staff kind of do similar things. So
it's the nature of having a plugin in the WordPress space, isn't it? There's sort of expectation that you'll be available at all the hours. But I can imagine that is going to be quite important at the beginning, because it's not without technical understanding. You know, if you buy some plugins, it's just really obvious. It does one thing and it's dead simple. You turn it on and it's doing it. yours because you're building things in the background and there's probably ways to do it better than others and, you know, certain channels that you've got to understand. Yeah.
That's something we're trying to solve. So the thing about searching and filtering is, I think it's quite a technical concept to begin with. So if you're new to WordPress, it can be quite overwhelming. You know, it's all the data types, post types and meta fields and all this kind of stuff. It's just, I think it's quite complex by nature. So half the battle is making the process easier or explaining it well. So as you rightly said, we get a lot of support burden from people just coming in and going like, where do I start? What do I do? And things like that. So a little bit of education, and we have some room for improvement in our docs and things like that. But one thing that we're working on at the moment is an update for a proper onboarding wizard. And that's probably not too far from release. Oh, nice. And that's going to take you through from figuring out what integrations you've got on your website. So if you've got an Elementor, we'll kind of say, hey, you've got Elementor. Let's enable all the Elementor features from the get-go. Or hey, you're using the block editor, things like that. And then you can kind of go into the next stage. And something I didn't mention previously is another big update. We've got this huge design update. So you can really go crazy with how deep you get into the design of the field. So you can change the borders of an input field, like of a search field. You can change the border radius. You can change the background color.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You can change, you know, all kinds of things like focus colors, hovers colors. And it's going to be really, really granular. So step two is this. When you add more features, you also add more confusion sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's why we're building it into this wizard. So step two is kind of like a nice automated way to choose a few of these options. You don't have to design everything from scratch. Choose a few colors, like a main color for a color palette. And then we'll generate all these accesses. We'll generate a palette based off your preferences. And that'll be like accessibility friendly. We do some checks in there to generate a good palette and things like that.
Yeah.
And you choose a few design options. And it's kind of like setting your default theme. And then the final step is like a demo creator. So something, people have demos on their websites and then they have tutorials on their websites. And we have those things too. But people like want to know really, really quickly from when they turn on your plugin.
Oh yeah.
Like, hey, can it do what I want? And obviously also like, how does it work? So when you get onto the last step of the wizard, like the summary, it's like, okay, you know, you're all set up, you're good to go. But would you like to create a demo page? So if you've enabled the block editor as in your step one, we'll say, would you like to enable create a demo page in the block editor? And you click okay, and then it will just generate a page with some fields and a query loop and things like that. So you just got one click and off you go. You've got a demo on your site, you can go and edit it and start playing with it. And I think getting your hands on like as early as possible into the plugin and seeing something working is super important to like remove frustration and then just for you to just have the understanding like, ah, yes, this can do what I want it to do. It might have taken me an hour or two to figure it all out, but here it is just working. And personally, I like to work with a working example. Some people might not want the demo. They might just want to kind of like go through documentation and do the tutorials, but for me, it's like I'd rather get stuck in and see how it works. So that's what we've got there. We've got the same for Elementor as well. We're going to do the same. If you've enabled Elementor, you go to the last step, you can open an Elementor page like pre-made for you, essentially. So you can just get stuck right in and start, you know, messing with things. And the idea is to eventually roll that out to every page builder that we're going to support. So this I'm hoping is going to reduce loads of support burden.
Yeah, I'm hoping too.
It's like, yeah. We'll build it for you, essentially, or at least a very minimal version.
Yeah, yeah.
And then hopefully you can learn a lot quicker.
You can figure it out from inside the demo. Yeah, because obviously when you started this plugin, I'm guessing that you were literally handling the searching and the filtering, and the rest was up to you. You know, you got to figure out all of the other bits and pieces. But now you've taken on the burden of what it looks like as well. You know, you mentioned the borders around the fields and the colors and the fonts and all of that. So there's a lot. And also, even though faceted search is now so ubiquitous across the internet, everybody completely gets how to use it. You know, you go to a property website and within, even though you've never seen their configuration on that website of how to search and filter, within 20 seconds, you'll have figured it out. Okay, oh, I click in there and I do this. But building those searches is not necessarily as intuitive as you might imagine. So I can well imagine that you do get a lot of support. And so building that wizard and somebody can hop in and immediately see, oh, that's how you do it. Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. And you have probably one of the more complicated products in the WordPress space, in all honesty. I mean, I know that page builders do a lot and what have you, but in terms of complexity and the capacity for things to behave unexpectedly or to go wrong or for you to misunderstand how to build it, I think that's true. You know, you've got a lot there. So having those wizards and those onboarding demos, yeah, that seems like a really great idea. Okay, let's get to the nub of it. This is the question everybody will want to know. How much does it cost? And so it won't surprise you to know that I've gone to /pricing to figure out the cost of things. And I'll just read it into the record. Caveat emptor, we're recording this in August 2025. The prices might change, but for now, especially this podcast, you know, we often get people listening to things years after the fact. At the minute, one site is $39. This is obviously the pro version. There's a repo version. If you want to use it on up to three sites, there's $89. And then there's the kind of unlimited site option, which is called Developer, and that's $219. Is it as simple as that, or are there different things which you throw in, or is it just the number of sites that you get?
So at the moment, it's just the number of sites, but yeah, we are kind of kicking up a top secret new feature for the end of the year, and okay, that won't be on the starter plan.
Okay.
Probably from professional up, but yeah, I like to keep things simple. I wouldn't want to make it too confusing, but there will be a couple of features eventually, I think, that will be in the slightly higher tier plans. But yeah, it's okay. A number of sites, essentially.
So my final thing is not really a question, it's an observation, and you can kind of answer it. If I was putting this feature that you have, searching and filtering on my site, the one thing that I want to know, well, there's two things really, is firstly, does it work reliably? That's the first thing I want to know. You know, can I bank on this working? And secondly, is it going to be here in a few years' time? Because this is going to be an important part of any site. If you're searching, if you put this in, you want to build it, have it work from that moment on. So let's just assume that Ross knows what he's doing because he's been doing it for years. Let's just say it's going to work. Let's just blanket over that. But the next thing, it sounds like a silly question, but it's an important question. You're sticking around with this, right? This is what you do for a living, basically. And I know that seems like a trite question, but people want to know that. They want to know that you're going to be here in years to come.
I remember one customer who used to email me every year for about 4 years in a row, double checking that I was going to be around the next year.
Yeah, see?
So
like, not making it up.
Yeah, it's super important. I think as well, it's kind of a little bit like, not as much, but it's kind of like investing in a page builder, right?
Exactly that.
It's a lot of effort to set up in the first place. Like you say, we have a complicated plugin, so setting it up can be a bit more complicated than other plugins. And there's a time and effort investment and a learning curve and things like that. Never mind just the running of your site that you want to guarantee it's going to carry on running. So yeah, a super important question. Yeah, I mean, we've been around for, the free version was, I think, around just over 10 years. The pro version has been 10 years already. This is actually the 10th year, if I'm remembering correctly.
Nice.
To check that. So kind of celebrating a decade already. And I'll be transparent. This was a side gig for me and on the side of my agency for like the first 7 years or something like that. And then when COVID hit, this became the main thing. So this is my main focus and this is my main business. And this is my livelihood, and this is where I see myself going in the future. So we'll be around for years to come,
yeah,
for sure.
You've literally hit every nail there, I think. That was the perfect confection of an answer. When you say this is my livelihood, that's the bit. That's what people want to know, right? Are you invested? Because this is a big part. You can't have this going wrong. You need to know that next year is going to be the same as this year, that the support tickets are going to get answered, that the plugin is going to continue to follow whatever the heck WordPress is doing, whatever the heck Elementor's doing, whatever, you know, feed into that whichever page builder you want. And it's going to be a big part of the site. You know, if you're selling properties or whatever it may be, this is the way that you're going to encourage your users to purchase the thing or drill down into the thing. And so we want to know that it's working. I think you did a good job making us convinced that A, you've got a lot of heritage, and B, that you're going to be around. So bravo.
To give you an idea, the roadmap is probably at least 2 years long.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There's great. Some big stuff in the pipeline. Yep. Just to get past that hurdle is a long time coming.
Well, that's the other thing as well. You know, the roadmap thing obviously speaks into your seriousness about it, not just kind of, I'm going to maintain it. It's going to tick over. If you've got big ideas, you're obviously thinking about the future and what it can do. And you know, your subscription that you're going to pay, you're going to be getting more and more as time goes on. Okay, in that case, let's call it a day there. Let's knock it on the head and say one last time into the record, the URL to go and check this out is searchandfilter.com. Over there, you're going to find the pro version of the plugin /pricing. If you want to know how much it costs, but also on there's options to see the integrations, to get into the documentation and what have you as well, so you can have an understanding about how it all works. So Ross Morsali, thank you so much for chatting to me about that today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's been fun.
Okay, that's all I've got for you this week. I hope that you enjoyed that. If you did, search for episode number 434 at wpbuilds.com. Leave us a comment on our WordPress commenting system. It's pretty good for that, you know. Not many people use it these days, but, you know, it's baked into WordPress and it would be nice to see it being used. Even if you didn't like the episode, leave us a comment. We'd appreciate that too. Don't forget episode number 434. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also helped out this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also helped this week by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Well, try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without fantastic companies like that. Remember, wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. Okay, truly, we're approaching the very end of the podcast. Thanks for sticking with us. Don't forget, we'll have another podcast episode next Thursday. If you're going to be at WordCamp US, you can DM me at WPBuilds on X, and I will hopefully hook up with you there. We'll also have a This Week in WordPress show at some point in the near future, maybe not in the week to come because of the fact that I'm in WordCamp US and it's probably going to be hard to organize that, but we'll have one soon. Don't worry. wpbuilds.com/subscribe to keep updated. Okay, it's time for the cheesy music. Here it comes. It will be terrible and probably created by AI. Hear how bad it can be. I will see you next week. Stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.